It's good to see your presence this morning, another wonderful Lord's Day. It's great that we can come together and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We continue a series of lessons on the Christian home. This morning we'd like to study on the duties of wife. We know that marriage as a sacred institution joins together man and a woman. God instituted marriage. It was His will for man and woman to marry and to have a family, a husband and wife in holy matrimony, each with their God-given duties to one another. The husband has certain duties, responsibilities, and the wife also has certain duties. Previously, we considered the duties of husbands who are commanded to love their wives, love their wife as theirself, to love their wife as Christ loved the church. If a husband loves his wife, he's not going to mistreat her, and he's going to be faithful to her. He's going to respect his wife, respect her and honor her. Also, he's going to support his wife in every way that he can. This morning we want to study on the duties of the wife toward the husband. We know that in the beginning God created Adam and Eve, the man and the woman. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. And so God created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all things that are therein. And then he created man, Adam. And then he created the woman, Eve, to be his wife. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." And so after God had created Adam, he saw that Adam was alone. "It's not good," he said, "for man to be alone." And he created Eve, the woman. In Genesis 2, verse 21 and 22, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And so God took a rib from the side of man to make the woman. God joined together Adam and Eve, husband and wife. This is the first marriage. Eve was to be Adam's helper, a companion, to be with Adam. The scriptures tells us that one of the duties of the wife is to submit to her husband. We know that today many people reject this teaching. They get angry and upset when you say that the wife is to submit to her husband. We define the word submit. The Greek word means to subordinate, to obey. To be under obedience, in subjection, to submit self unto, according to Strong's Concordance. And so the wife is to submit to her husband, to be in subjection, to be under obedience. An example, Jesus submitted to the will of his Father. He was always doing the will of his Father. He submitted to his Father. In John 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And so we see here the submission of Jesus to the Father. The wife is to submit to her husband. Wives are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ in everything. Christ is the head over all things to the church. As members of the church, the body of Christ, we submit to Christ. Whatever Christ commands, we obey. Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He's a Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so the church is subject to Christ. And he says the wife is to be subject to her husband in everything. That is, presuming that it's in keeping with the will of God. If the husband was to ask or command his wife to do something that was wrong, that was sinful, certainly she's to obey God first. In Acts 5, verse 39, Peter said to the other apostles, he answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so we put God first. Obey God first. For husbands must not abuse their authority. If a husband loves his wife as he should, honors his wife, he's not going to mistreat his wife. He's not going to abuse her. He's not going to be unfaithful to her. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Be understanding of your wife. Have compassion and love. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Let us treat her as you would china and not steel. It says, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And so a Christian man and woman, they're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Yes, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. How much did Christ love the church? He gave his life to purchase the church. He purchased it with his own blood, the price that was paid. Husbands should be willing to lay down their life for their wife. Even as Christian wives are to submit to God. And so the wife is to submit to her husband. She's also to submit to God. In James 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Also the wives are to submit to the government. All Christians are to be in subjection to the government. We're to obey the laws of the land. Jesus obeyed the laws of the land. He paid taxes. He had Peter to go and get a fish, and he took a coin from that fish's mouth and paid taxes. In Romans 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so the wife is to be submissive to her husband. She's to be subjection to God and to the government. Also submit to elders, the older women. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so I think the whole thing boils down to being humble, being a humble person, being willing to submit to others. Some people don't want to submit to anyone or to anything. Also, the wife should be submissive without nagging her husband, with gentleness and with quietness, with a quiet and gentle spirit. In 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4, wives likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And so if a Christian woman is married to an unbeliever, she's to submit to him and she's to live in a way that he might be converted to Christ. It says, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And so the Christian wife is to have a gentle and a quiet spirit, being submissive to God and to her husband. Wives, respect your husbands, your husband as Sarah respected Abraham. In 1 Peter 3, verse 5 and 6, says, "For in this manner, in former times, holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are if ye do good, and are not afraid with any terror." And so holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, and gives Sarah as an example. When wives fail to submit to their husbands, it's not fitting to the Lord. It's not acceptable to the Lord. In Colossians 3, verse 18, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." The Greek word here means to pertain to what is due, duty, as was fitting. And so it's the duty, it's fitting for the wife to submit to her husband. Jesus gives us an example how he submitted to do the will of the Father. In Matthew 20, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many." And so Jesus took upon himself the form of man. He humbled himself. He became a servant, doing the will of his Father. When the wife doesn't submit, the family unit is often in turmoil. When a woman wants to be like a man, she dresses like a man, she acts like a man, she doesn't submit to her husband, then certainly it causes turmoil and problems in the family, in the home. You can't have a happy family as God would have it to be when the wives fail to submit to their husbands. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. Now, this is the way God put it, not man. This is God's will. Yes, in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, "But I want you to know the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. The head of Christ is God." And so this is God's will. God is the head over Christ. Christ is the head over man. Man is the head over the woman. In the family, it's God's will the husband be the head of the wife, that parents be over the children. Otherwise, the family will be dysfunctional. It won't be the happy family that God meant for it to be. God will not be gracious to the wife who refuses to submit to her husband. God is not pleased, and God will not accept it. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble." And so a wife who refuses to submit is proud. They're not humble, and God grace is to the humble and not to the proud. God gives grace to those humbly submitting. The husband must love, respect, and not mistreat his wife. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And so if we don't follow God's will and his instructions, then he will not hear our prayers. He'll not answer our prayers. He will reject them. Prayers are hindered when we don't submit. When the wife is dominating, it can have a bearing on the sexual orientation of the children. A study by Dr. Irvin Byher was made of the family background of 106 male homosexuals. Dr. Byher found that 81 mothers were dominating and their sons were homosexual. And so if we raise our children maybe like a girl, we treat our sons like a girl, they may become homosexuals. Lives are ruined when people won't listen to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. And so God has given the plan. He's given us the details on how we're to live. Wives are to love their husbands with affection. Admonish the young women to love their husbands. The wife is to love, have affection for her husband. I've read where called mail order brides. They would travel across the country on trains and someone they never met before, they marry them. They don't even know each other. But sometimes they would grow to love one another after a period of time. Sometimes people would marry for convenience. Maybe one person had money, the other one was very poor, and they married them for convenience. But however they marry that person, they should learn to love that person, have affection for them. This affection is something that can be taught. It can be learned if needed. Seek advice from a mature sister in Christ. In Titus 2, verse 3 and 4, the older women likewise, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And so wives are to love their husbands and love their children. Love your husband with intimacy to prevent unfaithfulness. Sometimes that affection is not there, and they're not as close as they should be, and they're not treating one another as they should, husband and wife. And many times, maybe the husband or the wife becomes unfaithful because of the lack. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, let each woman have her own husband. Also rendering affection properly due, not withholding marital rights. And so the husband and the wife have certain marital rights, have affection and love for one another. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. Likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so the husband is to render to his wife the affection that's due her. And the wife is to render affection to her husband that's due him. Many times because of this lack of affection and love, there's unfaithfulness and ends up in divorce. The wife is to manage the home. She has a great responsibility, homemakers. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good. And Titus 2 and verse 5 says, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so she is to be the homemaker. Wife is to work in the home, one who takes care of the home, the homemaker. The wife is to manage the house. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so she is to manage the home, be a homemaker. That doesn't mean that she can't help her husband. Maybe there's a need which is necessary for her to work. The wife is to guide the house and to manage the home. This also can be learned from our older sisters in Christ. In Titus 2, verse 3 through 5, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, given to much wine, teachers of good things. They admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so the wife is to be the homemaker, sees to the needs, the things in the home. The wife is to manage the home as mothers. Paul told the young widows to marry and to bear children in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so it was Paul said his desire was for the younger widows to marry and to have children and to manage the house. The primary design of marriage is to start a family. If a young wife is unable to bear a child, we know that adoption is a wonderful option, having children, to raising children. The Ten Commandments of Wives. Expect not your husband to give you as many luxuries as your father has given you after many years of hard work. Sometimes the wives, when they were at home, their fathers gave them everything that they desired. Then after they married, the husband was not able to give them all that they wanted. You will work hard to build your house with a husband that you have. Not fascinating about the one that could have been. Yes, sometimes women, they think, well, back in the past, I wished I had married that other man years ago instead of the one I did marry. You shall not nag your husband. You should coddle your husband and be a warm wife. Remember that the approval of your husband is more to you than the side glances of many strangers. You should not yell at your husband, but be gentle and quiet spirit. Permit no one to assure you that you're having a hard time of it. You should not fail to dress up for your husband with an eye to please him, as you did before marriage. You shall submit to your husband from your heart. Allow him to be the head of the household. The tenth commandment is, you shall assure your husband and others that he's the greatest man alive. And so the wives need to love, honor, and respect their husbands. What makes a good wife? We have here in Proverbs example of a godly woman, a good wife. Her husband has full confidence in her. Yes, he can trust her and believe her. She's honest. She brings him good all the days of her life. She's good to her husband. She works with her hands. She's up early preparing food for the family. She plants a vineyard. She works vigorously. Arms are strong from her work. Her light doesn't go out at night. I'm sure that those of you that have babies, a lot of times you're up in the night, maybe preparing also for the day coming up. She uses a spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor. She makes warm clothes for her family. Her husband is respected. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. She watches over the affairs of her house. Her husband and children, they praise her. Yes, because she is a good wife. She's a good mother. Today, a woman maybe can't do all of these things, but there are similar things that we can do. In conclusion, the Christian wife is a woman who submits to her husband with respect. She loves her husband with affection. She manages her home and her children. This is because the Christian wife is a woman who's a Christian first and a wife second. They put God first in their life. They want to please God and do the will of God. She gladly accepts her duties as the Bible teaches. She looks to the Word of God and prayer for strength that she needs to fulfill her duties. When a woman is a Christian wife, she's more likely loved and respected by her husband. She's more likely the sort of wife that she should be. The children are more likely as they should be because of a godly woman. And so there are duties the husband has toward the wife, and there's duties that the wife has toward her husband. And so if we want to please God, we want to go to heaven, then we need to do the will of God and please Him, love God, and keep His commandments. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. All things are ready. Jesus invites you to come. To become a Christian, you must have faith in God. Believe that He is. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins to God. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized to wash away your sins. Yes, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The blood of Christ will cleanse you from all your sins in baptism. You'll be added to the Lord's church. And then live a faithful Christian life, doing the will of God. You can go home to heaven when this life is over. And so if you're any way subject to the invitation of Jesus, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?